see.
Well, good morning. I'll try to do two things at once, talk and get the computer going. Let's see. Okay. Aha, there it is. I'm not very technological. And figuring things out, it gets harder as I get older. I will say, though, I had a very special praise today. I had gone to an ENT doctor a couple weeks ago, and he sent me for an MRI of my head. And when I went in, he said they found absolutely nothing. I don't think I needed an MRI for that. People have told me that for years. But we're very thankful that the results were, I guess, positive. The technician said, well, you know, there is a brain there. But I told the MRI, but it doesn't say anything about its function, does it? And unfortunately, that can't happen. We're so thankful. That was an actual, though, praise request, because it could have meant surgery had they found some tumors, which were a possibility. And so we praise the Lord for that. We have many things to praise the Lord for. This for the last week and a half or so, we have been involved in an online prayer meeting with friends dating back to almost 40 years. We had a group of us had served with a mission, an assembly mission in Madrid, Spain. And we decided, as the new year started, one of our members said, why don't we have a Zoom prayer meeting? And so we've been meeting each day and been praying with each other. And we'll continue that for a few more days, and then we'll probably limit it to once a month. That might be some technology that could be helpful here with. I'm not the only one who travels. Maybe just I'm away the most. But it's a good way to keep contact. Well, we're very thankful to the Lord for so many things, for this opportunity also to be able to speak to you. Every once in a while, I may try, if I can, to translate a little bit. And if I can do it, wonderful. If not, I know you'll forgive me. Well, this is something that I have been speaking about before, seeing the invisible God, or another way of putting it is living well in the sight of God requires living in sight of God. Now, it might seem like an awkward way of saying it, but if we want to live well before God, we need to live with a vision that God is with us here and now, and he is active in our lives. Now, a lot of the material I want to share with you, it's part of a series called Experiencing God, which was started back in the 80s. This particular series was trying to address an issue that the brothers had who made this this study had seen among believers, that many believers had head knowledge of God. But he was finding that very few would admit or say that they actually had an ongoing daily relationship with God. And it's very easy when we know so much. There are many who go through the rituals of being a Christian. And the rituals might be daily rituals, or they might be rituals that we do as we come to the church. But we know for us, it's not ritual. It's part of this relationship that we have with him. And these are seven living truths that help us to live in a relate that we need in order to live in a relationship with God, acknowledging he is with us all the time. Like the Apostle Paul, when he was on trial for his life in 2 Timothy, and he said, everyone has deserted me, but the Lord stood with me. He knew the Lord was there at that moment. Those are the kind of times we often forget that he is there. Those are the kind of times we often forget that he is in control of what's going on. Because we're trying to think of, how are we going to get out of this? Our minds, the gears are spinning. And we forget, wait a minute, there is one here that knows what's going on and has the answers. So I'm just going to read through them quickly, because as I preach over the next 7 years, I'm just kidding on that, but we're here so few times that I only get to cover one of these at a time. The one we talked about last time was recognizing that God is always present and active in and around us. Praise the Lord for that, because last New Year's Eve, there were people sharing testimonies of how God was active in their lives now. We had a whole family that had prepared testimonies, and the little one stood up. I couldn't help but think this morning as we were going through, I believe it was Psalm 8, from the mouths of infants and nursing babes, thou hast ordained strength. So we had kids standing up saying, this is what God did to our family. Our pianist, Tabitha, she had mentioned how God has been working in her life to supply and bring her into just the right place at just the right time. And then there were others who shared wonderful, wonderful things that God was doing. God is always present and active in and around us. The second one here and is God pursues a loving relationship with each of us. Now, I'm not just saying in this that God is pursuing a loving relationship with us, but that he's pursuing it to be reciprocated. He wants us to live in a loving relationship with him. We know that God loves us. What else could he do to prove his love but send his only begotten son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die the infamous death on the cross for the likes of us? But do we have that intimate relationship with him? And I'm going to skip these until another time. I was just going to let you know. But at least you know that there is a method to my madness, how I'm choosing what to speak to you about. And I've been sharing these things with the churches throughout the Midwest, with the church boards, and with some of our missionaries. We're talking about living in the sight of God. But another way, I have a way of making things complicated that are fairly simple. It must be a gift, but I don't know if it's a good gift. But when I talk about walking, living in the sight of God, really, the Bible has a much simpler term, walking with God. And we talked just a little bit about that on New Year's. It's a simple, basic idea of two people walking together through life. Do we have that kind of relationship with God? Now, I have no question, anyone here who has trusted Jesus Christ as Savior would say, yes, I love the Lord. But if we were to ask, do you love the Lord with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, with all of your strength, could you say yes? I'll confess to you, I'd like to be able to say yes, but I keep finding the older I get, different areas that maybe my love wanes. I want something more, it seems. And the Lord always brings that to light. And it can be a shame to me. In Micah 6:8, the Lord said to a group of people that said that they loved him, that said he is our God, he said to them, hey, look, you're going through all the motions, but I know what's going on in your heart. I know the things you're doing that you think are hidden. And he says, this is what I want. He has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. When we walk with someone, we're in sight of them, aren't we? Have you ever had that experience of walking with someone in an area you're not familiar with? You're so thankful this person has lived there all their life. Have you ever had that? You're walking maybe through a new city and there's a big crowd and you get jostled. Next thing you know, you can't find them anymore and panic sets in. I have no idea where I am. All right, I know everybody's got a cell phone now, so we don't panic as much as we used to. But before cell phones, that was pretty scary. But to walk every day, to walk with God, knowing that he's actually here, knowing that he's actually involved in everything going on in my life right now. And he knows what's going to happen later, things I can never know about. And he knows the decisions that I need to make. Wow, that's the kind of relationship God wants with us. A love relationship. To act justly, to love mercy, and to walk humbly with our God. There's only one who ever did that perfectly. And if someone says, oh, that's me. No, it's not you. It's only the Lord Jesus Christ. So the first thing is God is always present and active in and around us. And we used Hebrews 11:27. By faith, he left Egypt. Speaking of Moses, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who is invisible. The one I want to really emphasize today is this one. God pursues a loving relationship with each one of us. God is always the initiator. He is always the one who does the pursuing. We love him because what? He first loved us. What's that? Who is that? Us. That's right. We love him because he first loved us. God is always the initiator in the love relationship. God is the first mover in philosophy. God is the first in all things. He is the ultimate, as philosophers would say, he is the ultimate, the prime reality. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ said, quoting from Deuteronomy. What does he want from us? Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. And when you think about this statement that God pursues a loving relationship with us, this basically sums up the plot of the whole Bible and of all history, doesn't it? When we read through from one end to the other, this is about God pursuing people who are running from him. That's us. From Adam and Eve to our Lord Jesus Christ, and then, of course, right to the return of our Savior. And when we see God's pursuit of us because he loves us, how can we forget this question? God had made a perfect world. He placed people that were perfect in this world. Everything was just as you would think anyone would want. And then Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Why? What else would they want? What else would they need? We understand that not only did they have all the things that were necessary for life, there's indication that God himself would come in some way and walk in the garden with them. Well, isn't that fantastic, that thought? It kind of reminds me a little bit of what you were saying in Psalm 8 of that future day when we will walk with the Lord. We'll walk in a way that we can see him with our supernatural eyes because we're going to have new bodies that'll be so different than what we have. And they sinned against him. And what did they do when they sinned? Well, of course, they sought him out and said, oh, Lord, we've sinned against you. We've disobeyed you. What did they do? A little alliteration here. Sin separates. Sin separates. It always separates. They hid. They hid from God. So God came. They heard the sound of the Lord walking in the garden. And what did he say? Where are you? That's not that God didn't know. We know he knew where they were, but he was giving them a chance to respond to him. They disobeyed him. They questioned God. They questioned his integrity. They questioned his love. And what do we see? Even with that insult in the face of God, he sought them out. Where are you? You know, those words are precious. Those words are precious. And I think each one of us, in a way, has probably experienced that. One person who experienced it very publicly was David. Let me just read these verses for you quickly. From John 3:16, this is how much God loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son. Romans 5:8, but God demonstrates his own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John 4:10, this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for sin. There is no question. The Bible makes it clear. God loves us, but he wants and he pursues a loving relationship with him. That's what we were originally created for. We were created so that we could have an intimate, loving relationship with him. We could walk with God as friends. We could talk with God as friends. We could live with God as friends, loving friends. Turn in your Bibles to Psalm 139. I'd like to draw your attention to this for a moment. Thank you. Let's see. Mirar en su Biblias, en Salmo 199, un Salmo de David. Now what will happen here is I'm going to forget to talk in English. I wish that would happen so easily. And you see, it is a psalm in four parts. And it talks about some of this intimate relationship with God. Este salmo describe una relación íntimo con Dios. Que Dios sabe todo de nosotros. Y todavía nos ama. Okay, and We can also consider this. It's a psalm that describes God's pursuit of love for me. Now, this is a particular psalm that has a lot of theological content. Now, theology is important. Theology, basically, the study of God, and it comes out of God's word, the Bible. We want to know what the Bible says about God. We want to be accurate in understanding what it communicates about God. Este salmo tiene muchas cosas o pensamientos teológicos, pero es un salmo de relación con Dios, una relación de amor. But David, when he's going to be sharing these things that are wonderful theological truths, he's sharing them in such an intimate, personal way. He's sharing them in such a way that some theologians might say, well, David didn't get it right. He got it right because God inspired him to write it this way. When he starts out and he says, you have searched me. Well, a theologian might say, well, God doesn't have to search anywhere. He knows everything. All right. David got it right. He was inspired by God. And he's writing this like almost like a love song to God, like a guy who's going to get married. Didn't. And he is so in love with his wife, and he's just boasting. She knows me better than anyone else. She knows what I'm thinking. That's scary. All right. And you could go on. And that's basically what David is doing here. It's hard for me to figure out a translation quickly. Cuando David está escribiendo este salmo, él es hablando en este salmo como una letra a su novia, pensando de todas las cosas maravillosas de esta persona. Pero él es hablando de Dios. Basically, he's writing it, as I said before, it's like a letter to a girlfriend, except he is speaking about God, and he's extolling all the marvelous things about God. All right, let's look at the first section, verses 1 through 6. Now, in this section, he's going to be talking about the omniscience of God, that God knows everything. But, you know, David could have said that. He could have said, first thing I want you to know is that there is nothing hidden from God. God knows everything. That's said in other places in the Bible. But he doesn't say it that way, does he? Because he has a loving relationship with God, and he is boasting in this fact. God knows me completely. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways. If we were speaking of the FBI or the KGB, of them having surveillance of our homes, we would be terribly frightened. Because this is saying that, God, you've already searched me. You know me already. And probably I would think in David's heart, he is saying, God, you know me and you still love me. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me, everything about me. You know all my actions. And those first couple of verses are talking about the actions. You know when I sit and when I rise. You think about that? When you sit down, maybe to eat, nothing wrong with that. Maybe to watch TV, could be sometimes something wrong with that. Sit in front of the computer, could be something very wrong with that, could be something very good with that. But he knows when I sit, he knows every action that I make. Every movement of my hand, everything I listen to, every movement of my eye, God is familiar with that. He is completely aware. There is no surveillance system on this earth that compares to how well God knows my actions. No hay nadie en la tierra que me conoce como Dios. Él es familiar con los tiempos cuando me siento. Y cuando los tiempos que me levanta, entiendo, más o menos, todas cosas que hace, el Señor sabe. Y Él conoce mi corazón.
Now, I have to try to remember to go back here.
He knows everything that I do, but he also knows my heart as well. So he knows my actions. All right? But then he goes on and says, you perceive my thoughts from afar. He knows what not only what I'm thinking, but what I will think in a certain situation. He knows that. And he still loves us. El Señor sabe todos mis consentimientos.
Pensamientos.
Sí, gracias. Pensamientos. Todos. Ahora y en el futuro. Y todavía, Él nos ama. And then it goes on and it says, you discern my going out and my lying down. My going out and my lying down. He knows where I go. He knows when I lie down, when I rest. He knows all of that. How boring it would be. I always wondered about those doctors that have to watch those videos of people sleeping for a sleep test. Man, you'd think that would really be boring, wouldn't it? Watching a person sleep. I think I'd fall asleep doing it. But maybe there's other things to do. I don't know. Hey, do doctors do that, or do they have someone else, a technician, do it? Okay, good. Well, then those poor technicians. Treat them nice, doctors, please. They've got a hard job. So he knows when I go out, and he knows when I lie down. This is a surveillance, but it is a surveillance of love. He's not watching us. He's watching out over us because he loves us. If we have trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, he loves us in a special way. He is interested in every detail of our lives. He says, you are familiar with all my ways. It was interesting. Verse 3, I think I read something that Spurgeon wrote. He said that God is familiar. I think the King James uses the word path there. He says he's familiar with my running and my resting. And kind of a clever way of putting that, and helps me remember that. And he says, you're familiar with all of my ways. He is the one person in this universe that we may as well be completely honest with, because he knows it already. And he wants us to be honest with him. Dios sabe todo de nuestras, todas de nuestras maneras, y conoce todas de nuestras pensamientos. Y debemos, ¿cómo se dice honest? Nobody knows honest? Okay. Well, verdad is truthful. Yeah. Tenemos ser verdaderos con él.
Sincero.
Porque, sincero, gracias. Ah, sincero con él, porque él sabe todo. Y todavía, él nos ama. He knows all, and still, he loves us. This is David speaking, and each time it's personal. He's not talking in the abstract of theology. He's talking about God knows me. He's interested in me. He's interested in you. And everything that David said here is true for you and for me. Now here's one that's pretty scary. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. It's scary, but it's a blessing. Before I even say anything, while I'm formulating my sentences in my head, God knows what I'm going to say. Now, that's a wonderful thing too, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I prayed many times, Lord, help me to say the right thing. I want to say the thing that is pleasing. I want to say the thing that is most helpful to the person that I'm speaking to. Lord, you know what I'm planning on saying, but Lord, could you control my tongue so I say the right thing? Have you ever felt that way before? I have, and too many times I haven't listened. No, Lord, you don't want me to say that. I'm going to say this because I'm mad. And I'm going to be the angry prophet rather than the gentle shepherd. He knows the words. Él conoce todas nuestras palabras antes de hablar estas cosas. Es una cosa maravillosa. Porque Él puede darnos las palabras antes de decirlos a otra persona. So it's wonderful that God knows them, because he can give us the words. And he did promise his people, didn't he? Didn't he tell his disciples that someday you're going to go and stand before kings? You're going to go and stand before judges, and don't worry what to say. Don't worry what to say, because I'll tell you ahead of time. How many times have we held back from speaking the word of truth, the gospel, because we were uncertain whether we could make it clear to this person? Now, this person's very intellectual. He'll think I'm a moron if I say this. Have you ever felt that way? My hand is up, because I have. What pride. What pride in the face of Calvary. How can that be? It just doesn't seem to go together. But you believe that God can give you the words to say before you say it, to do what he wants you to do with your mouth and your tongue? There's a wonderful book called War of Words, and it's talking about how God gave human beings not only the gift of speech, but of communication of ideas through words. And it's his gift to us, and it needs to be used his way. And that's probably one of the gifts God gives us that even believers abuse more than anything else. We can use our words for cutting. We can use our words for blessing. And God wants us to use them
for blessing, even sometimes when they're harsh.
He goes on to say here, "You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me." Lord, I'm surrounded by you. You are everywhere. So he starts out with omniscience, that God knows everything. But now he's moving into the area of omnipresence, that God is everywhere. Wherever I look, there's an old Irish hymn that talks about God be above me, God is below me, God is the east, God is the west. God, his picture of God is that wherever he turns, there's Dios, there's God. Sorry. I knew that would happen eventually. David está diciendo que en todas las direcciones hay Dios. Hay Dios. Adentro, atrás, abajo, arriba. Dios es siempre conmigo. He's always with me. We've got to live in that reality, brothers and sisters. And I know we try, and I know we know it's true here. But how many times do we forget? How many times do we forget David to say, "You're surrounding me. I can't get away from you." Not that he wants to. There's some commentators that said, "Oh, well, maybe David wants to flee from God." No, he doesn't want to flee from God. He's just extolling that God not only knows everything, he is always there. Because you get to that next section, which we don't have time to go to, and he starts talking about, "Where can I go from your spirit?" And basically, he's asking a rhetorical question, because he answers it in the next few verses. But just think on these two things, that God knows everything, and he knows it in advance. And David says, "Such knowledge is too wonderful for me." Too wonderful. He's not frightened of that. If a human being, and I don't care how wonderful or great that human being were, knew everything that he has already described in this psalm, it would be frightening. Because we know, as people, we are frail. As people, we have wrong thoughts. But when David thinks of God having it, he says, it's wonderful. Knows me, and he still loves me. And this is the kind of intimate knowledge he has of us. And do we not think that God would want from us to say, "Hey, I want to know him. I know I can't know God the way he knows me, but I want to know him." And I'm going to have to leave it there. And that was just omniscience. We didn't finish omnipresence. But as he goes through this beautiful, beautiful psalm, he talks about that intimate, loving knowledge that God has of him. No hay mucho tiempo. Tengo que parar en estos versículos. Pero esta idea, esta verdad, que Dios me conoce completamente, es algo maravilloso. Como dice el versículo 6 de este salmo, he loves us. When a man or a woman falls in love with another human being, the one thing they want to know at first, they want to get to know them. They want to get to know everything about them. Well, God already knows everything about us. He wants us to be striving to know everything about him. And he has helped us. God is an open book. And here is the book that he's revealed himself to us. Because he wants to be in a loving relationship with us. I am going to leave it there, although there's more. Next time I'll do the next section. But let's go before the Lord and ask that he would help us. Because at the end of these four sections is the response. And I really wanted to touch on that, the response. How should we respond to the fact that God knows me intimately, that he is wherever I am, and that he is all powerful in my life? He responds to that, and that response is pretty amazing and very practical for each one of us. Maybe read through those verses and see what you come up with as far as how we should respond to God's overwhelming overtures of love. Let's pray. Our God, it is amazing as we think about the truths that you reveal of yourself in your word. We know that you have pursued people. You pursued each one of us. You made sure that we heard the gospel. You softened our hearts so that we could receive this message and trust you, because you created us for a loving relationship with you. But we know that sin is the barrier. Sin blocked that fellowship that we could have with you and condemned us to separation from you for all eternity. But we thank you that you loved us enough and you demonstrated your love and that you sent the Lord Jesus Christ to die for our sins. We thank you for that. Lord, we ask that you would help us this week to wake up in the morning and recognize that you want us to have a loving relationship with you, to walk with you, to talk with you, to think inward or outward with you, and to be asking you for the guidance that we need to go through the day in a way that is well-pleasing. Lord, we ask this of you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.